This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and this is Friday. This is the first day of the Texas Association of Magicians Convention in Corpus Christi, and I've just checked in, came into the dealer's room to check it out, and it looks like things are set up and starting to get exciting in here, as we're having more people who are registered. It's still early in the day on Friday, and so before that it gets too crowded in here, I thought I would visit with one of the dealers, and one of my favorites, and yours, of course, Marshall Peterson with H&R our Magic Books, Hill Marshall.
How's it going?
Fantastic, fantastic. So this is what number convention for you this year? I mean, you've been showing, like I know, since like at Fectors, and then of course you're at Magic Live and all the others. How many have these
all
you've been
all
to?
All for H&R, this is number 7, I think.
Number 7. Okay, because I know that Charlie and Dick have been to some that you haven't been to.
Yeah, that's for H&R total, so yeah. Including that. For me, it's 4.
Which is kind of difficult because you're traveling with the family, aren't you, most of the time?
Yes, most of the time. The 23-hour drive to Vegas was interesting.
Tell me about that.
We had a 3-month-old, so every 2 hours we'd stop and feed the baby, and it was an interesting drive.
But all the way from Baytown, which is south of Houston, so you had to drive with all the books and everything. I think that would be one of the most difficult things as a dealer to have to.
Yeah, we literally had a ton of books behind us in a U-Haul. And
did you?
Yep, driving with a truck full of kids. So
yeah, and then you said that you had some problems on the highway.
Yeah, we went, what normally would take us 2 hours, took us 6 hours because of a wreck, and then a fuse blew in the truck. And
the kids couldn't watch the DVDs or anything.
Yeah, which nowadays sounds spoiled, but I wasn't going to drive 23 hours without a DVD player.
Yeah. So do you try to drive straight through, or do you switch off with your wife and let her drive a while? Or?
No, we usually do it in 2 days.
Yeah.
So we stay one night on the road. Mm-hmm. But that one took us 3 days because of the 6 hour late. We stopped in San Antonio after an 11-hour drive. So
11 hour, yeah, it should have been like 4.
4.5, yeah. So that was interesting.
Wow. Well, and again, you got a ton of books. I mean, literally, as you were saying, and you got a lot of books you brought with you here. And there are a lot of new titles that are out that I know that you're carrying. And Gabe Fury has several that he's published with their, mm-hmm. It's not Hermetic Press, it's Squash Press, I believe.
Squash Publishing, yep. We have those. Yeah, there's been a lot of good stuff.
Talk about some of those books.
The new John Lubbock book, the mm-hmm. Handsome Jack book, Handsome Jack, etc., is great. An mm-hmm. incredible book on stand-up magic.
I was one of the first people to get that back when Gabe just got him in. I was at Colon, Michigan, and he said, I got him. And I said, want one right now while we're standing here.
Oh, it's a fantastic
yeah,
book.
Yeah.
Then he also did the new John Bannon book, Mentalissimo, which is mental magic with cards. That's not too hard to do, but very fooling.
Mm-hmm.
The new Sosato book that Richard Kaufman published, we have that one. In fact, it comes with a DVD that is worth just the price of the book.
Wow,
the DVD
really?
Is incredible.
What is that book on? What's the retail on that?
It's $60 for the Secrets of Sosato, but it comes with a DVD of the tricks in the book, and, man, he's incredible. Just a good thinker. The new David Kaye book for any kids performer is
kind of a must.
Supersized Silly.
Super Silly.
And you can put together about 10 one-hour shows with different tricks with all the tricks in the book.
Just are these reprints of some of the articles he had in Magic Magazine?
I think there's some of that in there, but there's a lot of contributions. It's just a ton of different mm-hmm. kids performers put stuff in there. It's been a good year for Magic books. The new Sean Taylor book, Mind Coaster, is really good.
Again, mentalism, mainly.
It's all mentalism. He's from New Zealand, I believe. I think right now we're the only ones carrying that book. But that's a really good book on mentalism. The Mel Miller's book on stand-up has gotten really good reviews. There's just been some really good books, and we're always open to getting emails, and we can point you in the right direction.
To find them, because you have not only the new books, but also
a lot of old books.
Because mm-hmm. you buy people's
collections.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. And when you do, you sort through them and post those on.
Yep,
do you put them on eBay and through your shop? Or
no, right now I have a day job, so it's mostly we use the website. But they're all on the website and searchable. And if you're looking for anything, we usually keep a list of people looking for things. So when we get a collection, that's our first email.
Go to see if somebody actually is looking for it. So mm-hmm. that's interesting. When you get those, do you sort those out yourself, or do you call Charlie and say, hey, come help? Or?
Oh, no, we go through them. Every now and then I'll talk to Charlie and Dick. Charlie's really good with pricing, used mm-hmm. books, and knows what the kind of market value is. So with that, I contact Charlie a lot, mm-hmm. or if I have questions. So Charlie's very knowledgeable on that.
Right. I know that when they had sold the business over then to you, but they still help out a lot, and that Charlie really is kind of doing more of the publishing. And
Charlie still owns the publishing side of H&R, and they're both really good spokesmen for H&R, so my ego's not big enough to change names or anything. They're just awesome people.
He's got a good brand name.
They are. They're awesome people. They're fun to hang out with, so we bring them everywhere.
Yeah. And some of the books that you've got, now he had this, the recent book, which was the Tom Frame book.
It's a really, really good book. The reviews have been very positive. It's all card magic. Not difficult card magic to do. Really good presentations, a fun read.
What's the name of that book?
Framework.
Okay.
And comes with gimmick cards for his version of Roy Walton's Card Warp with the Hyper card. Ending.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
So it comes with gimmick cards with that. And then if you order from H&R, we give you 10 extra gimmick cards. So that's the newest book from H&R.
And you have other books, of course, that are with the H&R title or under their publication.
All the Nick Trost series, the Bob Cassidy book, which the volume 2, volume 1 is out of print now. So if you see it, buy it, because it's going for high prices.
Usually only available like on eBay. You don't even have them to sell.
No, we I'm trying to think if we have any left. I think we've sold all of ours. Volume 2's out and is really, really good. So the Trost, Volume 2, or Bob Cassidy, Framework, the Bob Neal book, the Paul Hallis books. We have just a bunch.
Well, speaking of that, I want to find out if you can offer our podcast listeners some sort of a convention special or something perhaps on the H&R titles?
We can. Well, what we'll do is for the next week, so it'll end Sunday the 11th.
Yeah.
We'll do 15% off on any H&R title. One I'd recommend, it's an older one, but it actually is my favorite. One of my favorite magic books is Steve Bryant, Little Egypt Book of Numbers.
Oh, yeah.
And it is mistitled. Everyone thinks it's a mathematical book, but it's all about bar magic. And Steve is a clever guy with some great tricks, so that's one I highly recommend.
He does a Little Egypt Gazette.
Yeah. It's a great, great book.
So, and that's one of your titles that would also be on
that
discount?
That is an H&R, and that's an H&R title. I highly recommend that one. But yeah, any H&R title will do 15% off until Sunday.
And they can do a search through the website, which is located, where can they order?
Magicbookshop.com, all one word, magicbookshop.com. Or just Google H&R Magic Books. I promise it'll come up.
And be sure to put something in the title or subject line of saying the Magic Word Podcast or Podcast Special Discount.
Mention the podcast, and I'll take care of the 15% discount. And
you just pay shipping and the rest.
Yep, that's it.
Yep, sounds great. Well, Marshall, thank you very much, and good luck. I hope you don't take very much of this back.
That'd be nice.
All right.
On the car.
Yeah, that's right. It's over the Magic Word Podcast from Corpus Christi. This is Scotty out. Hello, Scott Wells with the MagicWordPodcast.com, and we just came out of the dealer's room, and a few people are kind of straggling in as they come in here early afternoon on Friday for the first day to register, and the first smiling face they see is the president of the Texas Association of Magicians, Miss Judy Hollingsworth. Hi there, Judy.
Hello.
Congratulations, by the way, on a fine year and bringing us up to this point.
Thank you very much. It's been fun so far.
What have you been doing to get things going here?
We have registrations for 250 people so far, and we expect more. We're having magic lunches on Saturday and Sunday that are going to include entertainment, and we have evening shows that are available for public ticket sales as well as convention registrations.
And what are the kind of special things, or special events? This is the first time we've had it in Corpus in how many years?
It was in Corpus in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
That's the last time it's been here. And we have beautiful weather. The sun is shining. The humidity is high. But the Gulf of Mexico is right outside the hotel back door.
Yeah, literally. The beach, you walk out the steps and you're at the sand.
That's it.
Yeah.
There's a bar right there on the beach, and everybody's having a good time.
And it's just beginning over here then, too. I was going to say, as far as some of the other exciting things now, the fact they're having like the luncheons with strolling magicians, that's something that I don't think we've ever done before.
That's true. The hotel is providing a very, very nice buffet each day. One day we'll have a fajita buffet, the next day we'll have chicken and fish, and at your table will be the stars who will be appearing on the stage in the evenings.
And one of the things that that your husband Scott, who was the entertainment director of the former Houston's Magic Island, had booked some of the talent who have actually appeared at the Magic Island. So we're kind of having a reunion of sorts.
Yes, the Saturday night evening show in the ballroom here at the hotel is being billed as a Magic Island retrospective. And all the performers will have performed on the stage at the island, many of them for many times, and Scott is going to be the master of ceremonies, and his introductions will be similar to what he was giving every single one of them at Magic Island.
And there will be a rubber band involved, I'm sure.
It wouldn't be Scotto without it.
Exactly. And some of the people who are going to be on, do you remember some of the names on the bill?
Oh, Saturday night, you're putting me in a bind.
I know Banachek was going to be over there. I think he's going to be closing that, and he was one of the performers at the Magic Island way back when.
Yes, Banachek is on the show. The actual final act is The Rhythm of Magic. Michael and Jessica Blanco, who are nationally ranked ballroom dancers, incorporate their magic illusions with ballroom dancing.
And they were FISM finalists also, I believe, a few years ago.
That's true. They appeared in Pittsburgh at the SAM at that point. We have on the bill that evening as well Stu and Lori McDonald, Chip Romero, Oscar Munoz, Ice McDonald, Cody Fisher, CJ Johnson. And it's going to be a fun show.
That sounds like it's really going to rock. And tonight I'm looking forward also, speaking of CJ Johnson, he's going to be doing the game show, I think. Is that right?
Actually, his number one game show host, Gus Davis, Gus is the premier game show host in the whole country, colleges by the thousands. And we're going to have a sample of that for the TAOM after the stage show this evening.
Very cool. Well, good. Well, I'm glad to kind of get a sneak preview of what to expect. And for those people who are listening to the podcast then for day one, they should hurry on down. If they're anywhere near the Gulf, that we are a long way away from what the hurricane is over in the Florida area. And so it's nice and sunny and really no expectation of bad weather or any kind of rain or anything. So I'd say to hurry on over here and register, wouldn't you?
We have wonderful lectures lined up during the day. One thing we don't have is overlapping events, so you don't have to miss anything.
Yeah, and some of the lecturers are going to be having Danny Orleans and
Jan Rose, David Hira, Ice McDonald,
David Stone.
Yes, yeah. He's coming in from France. He's also going to be on the Sunday evening show, and other lectures are Cody Fisher and. I'm looking at my schedule here. Banachek will also be lecturing.
He's lecturing on
Saturday afternoon. He's flying in just for that day and that evening show. We're very, very pleased to have him on the bill.
Yeah, and so if you get an opportunity again, if you're listening to this and want to see Banachek, you need to come like now because he'll be here just for the day on Saturday and then back out. He's got other obligations on Sunday. He has to get out. So.
It's going to be lots of fun for everybody.
And if they want to register online, they can or not? You can no longer?
Only registrations in person are accepted at this time, just for logistics purposes and to make it easier on the people. Our website is not accepting any more registrations.
And where are we?
We have 300...
No, I mean at the hotel.
The hotel, yes.
Yeah, people know where to come.
The hotel is the Emerald Beach Hotel on Shoreline in Corpus Christi, right on the Gulf of Mexico.
Right. And we're not very far from the original Whataburger.
That's true. The original Whataburger is about a half mile down the street.
The Whataburger was founded here in Corpus Christi. And so, yeah, the original two-story Whataburger is down the street. Anyhow, lots of stuff to see and do. Judy, I'm going to talk to you later towards the end of the convention or after it's over to kind of whenever that you actually are sitting down and you can take a breath and tell us how you felt that it went. But I'm excited.
Thank you. I'll be happy to talk to you later. Right now, we are busy.
Yeah, I'm sorry to interrupt you. Thanks for your time. And so for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Judy Hollingsworth, and this is Scotty out. All right, Scott Wells from the Magic Word Podcast here again. I'm standing near the registration desk, and as I said, people are starting to come in and register. And here now is one of the contestants who's going to be in the close-up contest, who's a friend of mine from way back, John Dallinger. Hey, John.
Hey, how are you, Scott?
I'm fantastic, thank you. So you've come to the TAM for a number of years. You lived in San Antonio, is that right, for a long time?
I did. I lived in San Antonio for 5 years.
Mm-hmm. And then you moved to Houston, then?
Been in Houston, that's going on my third year.
Yeah. Okay. And, but how long have you been actually doing magic?
Oh, I've been doing magic for 20-something years.
Okay. And you obviously spent a lot of time mainly on coin work, because I think you're one of the finest coin workers around.
Well, thank you. But, yes, I do. I, for whatever reason, everybody's drawn to their little thing,
niche,
and that's mine.
Yeah. And that was something. So I assume that you kind of went through a lot of other things before you found that comfort zone for you.
Well, certainly the comfort zone, but I was always drawn to coins, but it took me a long time to really get enough skills to feel like I could do it.
Yeah.
Certainly it's easier to start in with cards and some rubber bands and stuff. But, yes.
But the anti-gravity move, you know, flipping the coin,
yes.
How long did that take you?
I was so intent on doing it well that I probably, to do it well, it took me probably 6 months, but 2 weeks of intense practice, and then I got a blister and I had to stop for 2 weeks and then started up again. So it was definitely a commitment.
Yeah, that's why I was wanting you to share that kind of a story for people who want to know, you know, I like that particular trick, but making the coin go upward, you know, I'd like to practice that, but I don't know how long it's going to take me or if I'll ever get comfortable doing it. But I assume that no one is a beginning.
Well, right. I mean, everybody has to start somewhere, and it really just comes down to a commitment. You know, usually people are drawn to a trick, and then they just learn this. They make the commitment to learn the slides to do that trick. And I was so drawn and fascinated by that I just made the commitment. And
was there a book or a video or something that you saw, or did you just kind of start fiddling with it yourself? And
no, it was a video. It was.
Who do you recommend?
It was the video I used was the MR Classic Renditions, I think, and on the end of one of those was the, you know, John Cornelius teaching the coin that falls up, and so that's where I learned it. But it really, you know, you can be taught the method in 2 minutes, and then, like I said, it takes half a year to really nail it down.
I understand. And so how long has it been formulating as far as the contest act itself, which has to be, what, 8 minutes, 10 minutes? How long?
10 minutes,
10 minutes
or
okay.
less. Well, that I've sort of been a backseat observer of contests for a number of years. You know,
is this your first contest?
I actually competed at the IBM, and that was my second contest. I did a mini contest in New Braunfels. But every time you go to a contest, you go, well, I could do that. And so I finally decided, well, I got to shut up or own up. And, you know, so I thought, well, I'm going to give it a shot and try to do something that I'm passionate about, which is coins.
Yeah.
So that's how it evolved. But it's taken, I mean, once I came up with the idea, it's probably been 2 years of...
To formulate this 10 minutes.
Right. Right.
Wow.
Exactly.
To throw out some things and add some other...
It started out about 15 minutes, I think, in my head. And then I tried to condense the verbiage, but then I realized I had to get rid of some of the effects and then focus on one thing, essentially, one theme.
And one of the advantages, actually, of belonging to a magic club like the our ring is that you can actually perform this and get some ideas from the membership, basically.
Oh, for sure. I did it. I did it probably four to six times for the club, and that the first couple times I was a nervous wreck, and so I fumbled a lot, made some mistakes. But then as it progressed, the more I did it, the more comfortable I became with it, and I'm pretty happy with how it goes now. But because of that, yes. But because of the input of the clubs, but other people as well.
Sure, and that's the takeaway. I just want people who are thinking about getting into contests that it's good to kind of get some feedback and also to kind of get rid of the nerves, the jitters a little bit, because you're performing before your peers. That way that you're going to be able then to perform it live in a contest.
Oh, for sure. Not just the contest arena, but just, you know, it's a place to be free to try things out and get input or make a mistake and not, you know, you'd rather do it in front of somebody that will understand what the mistake is and maybe help you than fumbling in front of some lay people.
The wrong place. That's right. That's right. Well, good. Thank you. So it was a good place to be bad. You know,
right,
in a way.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, and you won't be good unless you be bad. That's
true.
The principle.
With anything.
Right.
So don't worry about it. Just go out and do it.
Right.
Kind of like Nike says.
That's right. Exactly. That's right.
All right. Well, John Dallinger, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Good luck. Pleasure. We'll talk with you afterwards, see how this goes.
Yeah.
For the Magic Word Podcast. I was John Dallinger, and this is Scotty out. Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and I'm here with someone that many of you know and some of you who don't will after you hear this podcast, Mr. David Hira. Hi there, David.
Hello, Scott, and hi all the listeners of the Magic Word.
Well, thank you, and they thank you as well.
Yeah.
Thank you for taking a few moments of your time that you're going to be the Master of Ceremonies for tonight's show. Is that right?
I am, and can I put in a quick plug to say that I'm proud to be a supporter, a financial supporter of Magic Word, and if you folks are listening aren't, you know, why not? You know, just join all of us and help support it. It just takes a village, and we can get it done. Let's help Scott.
Well, thank you very much. You are indeed a friend of the Magic Word in the truest sense. So thank you, because you have not only been a friend but for so many years, but also a financial contributor, and we appreciate that. So this way we can help afford things like the microphone we're using here now. This portable mic and walking
around. I paid for that, did I? Well, a piece of plastic of it.
Paid for the sales tax.
Okay.
That helps. Hey, listen, so I wanted to, those of you who don't know David, you will be knowing him soon enough, because he's going to be the subject of the upcoming Penguin lecture.
Yes.
When's it going to be?
It's going to be filmed in November, somewhere in November, and they've kind of changed their format. I don't quite 100% understand it, but apparently the new format is that they aren't exactly going to be live anymore. That's my understanding. They're going to be almost live. And
almost live?
Yeah.
So, but
well,
they kick the heck out of you?
Yeah, I'm not sure. But the reasoning is really, really sound. What they explained to me was that, first of all, once it's filmed, now they have the clips to really make a good commercial and get people excited about it.
Beforehand.
Beforehand. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so number two, though, is that also some of the performances, I mean, it's live performance.
Correct.
And it's live, and so some oopsies just made it in that were just embarrassing to the performer. So this gives them a chance to edit some of those things out and make things a little smoother and make the performer feel and look.
But it's live in the sense that there will still be a live audience there.
Absolutely. I don't think the viewer will know any difference at all. And secondly, you know, then we're going to go to two locations. It'll be, one is going to be in that stage. Mm-hmm. The other one is going to be at a local bar that we'll get to interact with actual spectators. Both of that will be married together.
But so you're doing some like real magic for real people.
Exactly.
Huh, okay.
Yeah. And then lastly, and what all the previous Penguin people kind of wish had happened, is that by the time then they actually show it, release it, people watch it, they will have immediately that day CDs available. I'm sorry, DVDs, that can be actually delivered right away. People still really like that format rather than just having
the
a download.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they like to have it in the library, carry it on the airplane, blah, blah, blah. So for all those reasons, they think that's the best way. And
so,
I like it because I can then also have DVDs right away.
Right, to take with you.
And, to take with me when I do my lecture live.
And as far as this new format, has this already begun, or will it begin with yours being the first? Or
just don't have any idea. I've been kind of AWOL for the last 2 months.
Yeah.
It's just been so much travel, and I just haven't read all the fine print on that part. But anyway, I think it's going to be better for the consumer, better for the people watching it. Yeah, it's going to be really, really good. The other thing I'm excited about is that you just saw my lecture here.
I was about to say, yes, and I enjoyed your lecture.
Well, thank you. A good part of this lecture is a showmanship lecture. And most people say, I don't want to watch a showmanship lecture. I just want to learn tricks. Mm-hmm. And to them I say, you know what? It's painless. And we have so many people that have learned so many tricks, especially Penguin customers who buy all these wonderful tricks. But doing a trick does not make one a magician. And so the focus of my lecture is to give people showmanship tips, connection tips, how to turn a trick into a memorable experience that goes beyond, wasn't that cool? You don't know how it's done.
Right.
And so it really will take people to a whole new level with no matter what you have in your drawer.
Well, let me point out also before we go any further that that your lecture was one that was listed in Magic Magazine as being one of the top 100 lectures
of all time. Yeah, and I tell you what, when I saw that list, and this was compiled by
independent voters, actually,
right,
who attended different conventions, yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, lectures.
And so at the very top is Michael Amar, and the very last one is Mark Wilson. And I thought, wow, it'd be sandwiched in between those guys.
Yeah.
Under H was pretty good.
Yeah.
But yeah, they said of your whole life, thinking back as you were a kid, everything else. And so, boy, there's two of us that I've never heard of, me and another guy that the magic community's never heard of.
Yeah, not as popular as Mike Marr or Mark Wilson, exactly.
Yeah.
And so your lecture has mainly been about showmanship and about the important things that we all should do, and not necessarily a trick lecture so much as it is.
Well, you know, and there's plenty of tricks in it, but as I say right off the bat, I'm not a creator, I'm not an inventor. However, having done tricks, you know, hundreds and hundreds mm-hmm. of times a year, I've found some little tweaks to them or little quirks to them. They're tricks that everyone would like to do or have done, mm-hmm. but I just have another spin on them. Part of the lecture, too, is, though, how I choose a particular effect for a festival audience, for a restaurant, for a trade show, for just going out to dinner with friends.
Or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, and so it kind of, in teaching a trick that may already be known, like there's one that's right out of Mark Wilson Course in Magic, and I tell them it's out of Mark Wilson, but you skimmed over it. All of us skimmed over that one trick, and here's why it's wonderful for a restaurant guy. Why? It's a little encore piece that seems to be impromptu, but in the end, you're using a guy's borrowed 10 and another person's borrowed 20. At the end, your hands are in applause queue hovering over the money.
Yeah.
And for them to get their money back, they kind of have to go under your hands to get it, and you wind up with a $10 tip, a $20 tip, or a $30 tip. And that's why I choose material in that mm-hmm. in that venue.
Right. Well, I think also the way you present it, because you're a keynote speaker and lecturing and talking to other professional groups, is the way that you present your lecture in a way that sounds like a speaker. In other words, you pause at certain points for dramatic effect. And of course, you talk about the importance of music and everything else that you do during the lecture. But my point is that it is not just a lecture as, okay, here's a trick, here's an explanation, here's another trick or whatever. It's exciting, and so people are staying awake and invested during the entire lecture.
Yeah, well, that's the fun of this lecture is, as you know, I'm a motivational speaker for these big corporations, and it's my love of life and my real heart to help people just take what they've got and just be better at it, and to take that approach with my fellow magicians. Yeah. I think it's you know, it's just an elixir that people just can't get enough of.
What are the top three things that you would say that you give away in your lecture? I say give away, that you teach, or that you without going into a whole lot of detail, what would you say from your notes? I mean, I know you have like the top 10 things, but like the well, top three things that...
Yeah, I love my silk to egg. I just think it's just made it more practical than ever for people to do it. I mean, that's a small thing, but I think that my pocket wand and the use of connecting a group of people, allowing them to use this little magic wand to empower them
empower
and make
them,
make them feel special, give them a memory, because in the end, that's all we're doing. In the end, it's not about how did I do that? It's not about wasn't that cool, although those things are good, but to give someone a memory where they felt like they were a part. They made something happen by giving them a wand, by letting them tap something. I know it sounds silly to you and me, but as I say in the lecture, and as I said today, if you were to take 1,000 people, real people, just stop a shopping mall, put 1,000 people to, how many of you have seen a magic show live? Mm-hmm. A magic show live, you will get 2 out of 1,000 people. Mm-hmm. And if you ask them, how many of you actually got to hold, touch, or be a part of a magic trick, the answer out of 1,000 will be 0.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it'd be less than one person.
Yeah.
But we don't know that. We forget that because we hang around magicians. We go to magic conventions all the time. And so all I want to do is encourage people. You know, it's really an encouraging
So that's one thing, I guess
lecture.
You would say.
Yeah. It's just to say, quit being so stinking selfish with your magic.
Yeah.
Put one thing in your pocket and share that stinking thing.
Well, that's kind of like what Jeff McBride would say as being a magician 24/7.
Right, exactly.
And not just a magician when you're on stage. If someone says, can you show me something? Well, there should be a magical experience, something. That doesn't mean carrying around, you know, tricks all the time that you try to foist on people, but when asked that you're ready.
Or when you see an opportunity.
Yeah.
I showed this, I was coaching 2 magicians. I do a little coaching for guys that want to really get into the business. They're really good. Mm-hmm. They've done some things. And I had 2 guys in town from California, and we were at an outdoor restaurant right there underneath the canopy, lots of tables, and I was telling them about this very thing. that most people have never had the experience, and they crave it. They've seen it on television, they've heard about it. And then I had a deck of cards. I grabbed the deck of cards. I didn't sit up, I mean stand up, but I sat up kind of straight. I did kind of a riffle shuffle,
yeah,
and I fanned them dramatically, and I handed over the salt and pepper shaker, up in the air, over them to have one of those guys grab a card. I said, grab a card. And as they reached up to grab, I said, freeze, don't move, don't move. And both the guys were like, what? I said, look at every table around us. I froze, they froze. And every single table, everyone, I mean, not
all
most of them,
returned.
Their heads were turned. They were straining because this is the thing they've heard about or maybe seen on TV, but someone's doing it live?
Mm-hmm.
We see it all the time, like I said.
Yeah.
How selfish do we have to be that we won't share one trick every now and then,
yeah,
just along the way? So that's kind of exactly the whole thing. Yeah.
What's the second and third thing?
Well, those are already two things, wasn't you? You're looking for a third thing.
Okay.
And mostly the showmanship part of the lecture really is good for anyone that's going to either be a performer, is a performer, or perhaps they are, they speak in front of church or the Rotary or anything. Anything that, where anyone's going to be live in front of someone, the few eight performing excellence tips on how to love your audience before you see them is number one in all of that. How you view your relationship with them before you even meet them.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that true of you and me when we go into a meeting? What's our attitude going to be before we walk in? Because our body's going to show it.
Your body will show it.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's going to be a great, like, I hope that everyone will watch it. It's the best of everything I've learned in 40 years.
And that's going to be coming up in November on Penguin Mentor. Okay, great. David, thank you very much. I know you're going to be working tonight, and you got to go. I see Oscar Munoz over here because he's wanting to talk with you a minute, trying to get some things lined up for the stage for later this evening. And so thank you for your time.
My pleasure.
Thank you for being a friend of the Magic Word.
It's great to be your friend, and thanks for your and Kathy's friendship over the years.
You bet. And so for the MagicWordPodcast.com, that was David Hira and Scotty out. Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and we just finished the evening show, which was actually the stage competition, and followed by a game show, which was a riotous fun, hosted by Gus Davis, and as well as things produced by C.J. Johnson and his group, and it was kind of like a Family Feud thing that they do in colleges across the country, and it was a gas. And I have with me one of the guys who was actually one of the contestants, and you guys know him from the Half Halloween show, and also from his Lotto Fever trick that's out there. Mr. Jamie Salinas. Hi there, Jamie.
Hey, Scott. How you doing?
I'm doing great. What did you think about the evening show and everything? That it was interesting with the contest being sandwiched between two professionals.
Yeah, I like that. I thought it was really done really well. The contestants, you know, had an opportunity to, you know, to showcase their talent and go for the gold as far as gold statue, the prize.
Yeah.
That was really good. But I really liked the game show. That was a lot of fun.
That was just so much fun.
Very interactive, and I like the way that CJ and his crew threw in some magic themed kind of questions.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, not only was I a contestant, but you were a contestant also.
Yes, I was. So. And won $5.
Well, there you go.
Because they actually were giving away cash prizes the winners, not just money to be used towards the dealers, but actually cash prizes you could use for, I think I'll go have a martini.
sure. And speaking of martini, I think that was one of your answers for breakfast food.
Yes.
Or at least I was shouting that out. But anyway, yeah.
That was just a whole lot of fun, and because it got the audience involved and everything, and you can see how this is just a real popular thing, certainly with the college community when he's traveling around and doing this. And you know, here, late night activity, I think it's something that's going to be talking about for a long time. And it's a good idea for something that they could use in other conventions.
Right. Well, it's...
I mean, not just the TO I'm talking about, other...
Sure, sure. This is a small convention, but this is a family convention. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean family isn't children. It means we're all family. Everybody knows each other. The theme of the whole convention is get to know each other and make friends and
talk to somebody that you don't know, basically.
Right.
Yeah, that's
what
David Hira was talking about, going out of your comfort zone of someone that you normally see all the time, like you and I see each other all the time in Houston. And so, you know, suggesting that we actually talk with someone that we don't see all the time or we haven't met.
Right, that's correct.
Because they have interesting stories.
And so I'm going to try to reach out to some people that I don't know, but we'll see how late into the night we go. So, yeah.
Yeah, and right now, Stuart McDonald is going to be giving his lecture and workshop here late in the night. It's 10:30 right now, so I'll be going on until about midnight, I think.
Yeah, you have to take advantage. I mean, we've invested our time and money into the convention. We're going to enjoy all the lectures. I missed the very first one, which is Harry Allen traveling up here, but I saw David Ira, fantastic lecture. Very inspirational, motivational, and hey, guess what? He's a motivational speaker, so yeah. Funny how that worked out. But you hear the intro going on right now?
Yep, yeah.
So that's the McDonald lecture. I think you and I better...
We probably should, but just real quickly, just for those people who are listening, then also, of course, that what we do over here is, by doing these daily updates from the TAOM, we're going to continue to do this in future conventions and everything. And you just today were nominated to be the vice president, who's going to mean that you're an incoming president of the TAOM. So you're going to be the president and hosting the TAOM coming up in 2018.
Yes. Now, the biggest concern that everybody has is, hey, that's the same year that Magic Live, is having their convention. Now, most you ask everybody, they say Magic Live is the number one convention, and I've never been, but you have, and everybody says it's number one.
I went to the first one, too.
Exactly. But the beauty is there's 600 people that are waiting on the list to go to that convention that can't get in. So we're gonna try to put on a convention that's very similar to Magic Live, bring in some big names so those 600 people can have a place to go. Come on down to Texas. We're friendly, and we have some great barbecue.
We sure enough do. And you're putting together some ideas now for talent and other kinds of ideas and everything, right?
Absolutely.
We're already never too soon.
We're already going to start our committees. I'm going to need your involvement as well, being in Houston, and your expertise and knowledge of people. And we're just going to put everybody together and just make a fantastic convention.
Yeah, and it's always great. Thank you very much, Jamie. And that was Jamie Salinas. And as I was going to say something to CJ, hey, CJ, got just a second over here then, too, because CJ was the one who was the producer of the, what do you call it? It was
the game show.
Yeah, that means I bought all the stuff.
Isn't that awesome. What a producer's supposed to do?
Yeah.
You want the checkbook, basically.
Hired the talent and bought all the stuff.
And you go around to all the colleges, and how often do you do this?
It depends on what time of year, but three shows a week at least that we're doing on college campuses around the country.
Packing it up, moving, coast to coast,
you're
localized.
This month we got Sunday, they'll be going up to Minneapolis. Next month, or in the next couple of weeks, they'll be going out to Delaware. Next Friday is in Daytona Beach, mm-hmm. Then up to Delaware, New Orleans. In fact, the day after Daytona Beach, they go to New Orleans, so they got a 9-hour drive, a load-in, and a show, and then up to Delaware. So yeah, we all over the country, generally east of Texas and north. So.
And this is called Survey Says, and it's
Survey Says. It's a game show. We have six game shows and game shows to go. Gus hosts most of them. We have a couple other hosts. I'll host sometimes. He's our primary guy though.
And you have different surveys that you've actually gone out. You say, like, we've surveyed 100 people who have done such and such. Do you do that at college campuses, or where do you get the surveys?
Sure. Well, when we go to our college campus, we'll have the colleges take the surveys, and we'll generally do a blend of surveys that we know works, because we have the benefit of having our audiences change every week instead of having to change the surveys every week. So we'll use ones that we know work well and that Gus has bits for and that sort of thing.
He's a great game show host.
Oh, he's fabulous. It's like I never ever want to have to follow him. It's like if they see me first, everything's fine. But if they've seen Gus and then I go in, they'll call and book it again. But they'll be like, hey, can we get Gus?
Now, it's interesting because that you had actually asked questions that were specific to magicians. And so you do that, I guess, like when you're...
Like at the registration table and walking around, we ask
people. No, but I mean as far as, like, do you customize this for corporations?
Sure.
Like
if they want us to, we do. Mm-hmm. And we'll use it for sales meetings and things like that where, they may ask what's a new feature of the new line of Lexus or something. And, and they'll have questions because they've been learning all about that.
Right. Well, this was just a gas, as we used to say. I mean, it was so much fun. Jamie and I were both up there on the game show, and I won $5.
And it's like, I don't know the answers to them. I haven't heard them, and so I'm like, oh, God, that should totally be on there.
We're going to have a convention in Houston. I need to know your contact information. So if I wanted to book your game show, how do I contact you?
GameShowsToGo.com.
GameShowsToGo.com. We got it. That was CJ Johnson and Jamie Salinas for the Magic Word Podcast.com here late Saturday or Friday night. Scotty out.